This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, happy Wednesday morning to you. Welcome in. A little bit of rain heading in the area later this morning. It hasn't started yet, so hopefully Sue Thomas gets a little bit of a reprieve before that affects the morning drive. If it does over the next hour, hour and a half or so, just keep an eye out for that for you. That's what's going on. Are you enjoying yourself yet? That would be my question. The fallout from what's going on in Washington, D.C. has been epic. The meltdowns have been epic. And we're going to continue to cover that for you this morning. A little later, we're going to talk to Lucas Tomlinson, of course, of Fox News. He's been covering the absolute fit that the left is throwing over the possibility of government shrinking. It's an amazing thing to watch, isn't it? It's like somebody who's an addict being told that they're being cut off from their supply. And in some cases, it's cold turkey. That's what it's going to be. There was a big protest yesterday in front of the Treasury Department. They're mad at everybody. They're really mad at Elon Musk. We're going to cover that for you. We got Lucas coming up here at the bottom of the hour at 7:35. Genevieve Wood from Heritage is in as well. We're going to get to Kim on a whim at 7:45. And next hour, John Solomon. Haven't had John on for a while. One of the better investigative reporters up in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure he's enjoying all this meltdown, too. We'll talk to him about 1 hour from right now. But before we get to all that, I want to get to some of our top stories this morning. Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
When Americans are building monuments to Donald Trump as the most consequential president of the past 100 years, I don't think our grandchildren will fully appreciate just how consequential the guy is.
Yeah, Charlie Hurt there on the everyday earthquake that is Donald J. Trump, and the mainstream media does not quite know what to do with it.
This isn't my money. This is taxpayer money. So we're not going to eliminate foreign aid. We're going to have foreign aid that makes sense. We're going to have foreign aid that works.
Yeah, why would we spend money on things that don't impact the best interests of the United States of America? It's a simple question. The left could care less because many of these are pet projects. And the president asked this question yesterday. Whose palms are getting greased by all of this money?
We will win. We will win. We will win. We will win.
Oh,
we
make it stop. Make it stop. Chuck Schumer. Like, again, what's with the audio problems coming out of Washington, D.C.? All these things are overmodulated, and these people have irritating voices to begin with. And Schumer thinks, as a minority leader, he's somehow going to stop Donald Trump.
We have convened here in the right place, the Treasury Department. We have got to tell Elon Musk, nobody elected your ass.
The return of Mad Max. Can I just tell you, Kim St. Ange, I have dreamed of this moment for 4 years. Because for 4 years, we didn't have to hear a peep out of crazy Maxine Waters. And now she's back in all of her glory. This is the woman who took a bullhorn and encouraged violence against anybody who was a member of Donald Trump's cabinet. Remember that? Telling people to get up in their face. And if you see one of them at a restaurant, you go and you get up in their face. And she's one of the key people who was standing up encouraging violence against public elected officials during the last Trump administration. And she was stone cold quiet, if that's possible, for the last 4 years. Well, she was back yesterday with a couple of the other crazies joined her. Ayanna Pressley and LaMonica Melver. Now, I don't even know her. Is that her name, Melver? What's her name, McIver? Like
McIver.
Like MacGyver, but without a G. McIver. LaMonica McIver, Ayanna Pressley, and Maxine Waters. They were leading, along with Elizabeth Warren, this protest outside the Treasury Department yesterday. I'm watching this thing going, these people are melting down. They're mad that government might actually shrink. That's it at the end of the day. They may tell you they're mad because this guy might get access to this record or whatever. Bottom line is you can't cut an organization without looking at who's doing what. And they're about to make some deep cuts in the federal government. It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch them melt down over it. Carl, ride this audio a little bit so we don't blow our eardrums out, but play Cut 9 in its entirety for us, please.
Republicans, that we will not take this. We will fight back.
Fight back. Fight back.
And as I close out, because I know we've been out here for a long time,
yes,
and damn it, shut down the Senate.
Yeah.
We are at war. And I want to say to our Republican colleagues, pay attention. We're here today in the hopes that you will see the light. But if you do not see the light, we will bring the fire. Resist!
We have convened here in the right place, the Treasury Department. We have got to tell Elon Musk, nobody elected your ass. Nobody told you could get all of our private information. Nobody told you could be in charge of the payments of this country. We have told you, you've made enough money off our government yourself.
Did you hear the threats? Threatening to burn the place down? Threatening to go to war over job cuts in the federal government? This is what they're upset over. That they've aimed their ire at Elon Musk because he's been successful and he has a lot of money. They want to make him the evil guy, right? How much damage has George Soros done to this country? We don't know the full answer to that, but he's certainly bankrolled the Obama presidency and for 8 years, and he bankrolled the Biden presidency. And he didn't get a single vote. And now they're threatening to go to war because Elon Musk wants to shrink the size of the federal government and eliminate waste. And the only reason anybody would be mad about that is if their own palms were getting greased by it. And maybe we get to that answer at some point. I don't know. Pam Bondi just got sworn in yesterday at the Department of Justice. It sounds like we might need some forensic audits of some of these departments to figure out who the money was going to and whether or not there was fraud going on. What other answer could there be? I'm looking for one. Help me out here. All right, coming up, we are going to get to our friend Genevieve Wood. Love talking to Genevieve. We'll talk about some of the big issues that have of course, hit our friends in Washington, D.C., and not the least of which is defunding NPR and PBS. Is that coming? We'll talk to Genevieve.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up.
you must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up,
Elon Musk is seizing the power that belongs to the American people. We are here to fight back.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood on the phone now. And Genevieve, I want to apologize for that screeching voice I played there just before I came to you. But I think Elizabeth Warren may be the voice of the opposition to Trump this time around, like she was last time. But, you know, it's an interesting article in the Daily Signal that when you go deeper than that, a lot of the resistance that was there last time is less than this time around.
Oh, totally. I mean, look, if there were massive protests going on, you know the news would be covering it.
Yes.
But there just aren't. And it's even in a place like D.C. where literally there are professional protesters. You know, the same people you see them at the climate change rally, and then you see them at the Planned Parenthood march, and you see them everywhere. These, I don't know why they're not being paid, apparently, this time around, but any protest you see, it's literally like tens of people. Tens. Not 20, not 50, tens. I think it's because a lot of people... A lot of these folks were probably government workers, and many of them have decided to take a pink slip or not show up or what have you. So you just don't have the mass of folks there. But I also think it's because most Americans, Mark, I think your listeners know this. I think most people across the country, they want to see government cleaned up. And so that's just, there isn't a protest beyond a few federal workers in the district.
Well, and they've kind of been gobsmacked, I guess you'd say, by the reduction in force that he's putting in place. If it's the deep state and you truly believe that it's these people who are ensconced in the bureaucracy who are doing the most to fight you, shutting down USAID, offering buyouts to what did I read? 20,000 people have already taken the president up on a buyout. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. It shows you how many of them either know their job was just not really a job, and they had no chance of being able to protect it. So they're like, well, let me just get the good while I can get it, right? Just go and get a payout through September and go home. I think a lot of people gave up easy because they knew they had nothing to defend. They knew their jobs were a joke in many cases. Not everybody's, but a lot of them. And the reality is nobody came in and said, we're going to shut down all these agencies and we're never going to reopen. Basically what has happened is that we're going to come in and we're going to see what you're doing, and we're going to see why you're spending so much money, and we want to see where it's going. Why are these people scared of that? If these are all legitimate, wonderful products and projects that the American people would be supportive of, you have no fear. But the reality is, a very initial look at this has shown the ridiculous kind of activity so much of our taxpayer dollars have been involved in, and they're just at the top. I mean, Mark, right, this is not an investigation that's been going on for 2 months now. This is something they've been in office just over two weeks, and look at the stuff they're already finding. So I think that's why you also have people running scared, is because they know there's a lot more to come.
People are freaking out right now at the thought of dismantling the Department of Education. And I hear one of the arguments tossed out as well. They're going to end federal funding. We won't be able to get aid and all of these things. But I mean, it's just illogical to make that argument, because it's so obvious to me, at least, that that would just be moved over. They would still continue doing that. It would just look a little bit different.
Well, there's that, Kim. There's also the fact that just so much of what the federal government does is waste, right? So it's like you could cut a lot of it out and nobody would even notice.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff is they're making up rules and regulations that then end up being the state education departments have to adhere, and the state budgets have to go up. But again, the American people were very clear, I think, in the election. Donald Trump is not doing anything. He did not say on the campaign trail many, many times that he wanted to do. He wanted to get rid of the fraud in government. He talked about shutting down the Department of Education. This shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. And I don't think it's a surprise to voters, which is why when you look at most polls out there, people are supportive of all this. But yeah, that's why the deep state is so scared. Nobody has ever come in and really done what they said about the size of the government, the spending of the government.
Yeah. So I had an interesting text conversation with someone who I won't name in my family yesterday, who was concerned shocked at the concept that there might not be a Department of Education. And I said, you do realize that I was educated without a Department of Education. It didn't come about until 1980. Jimmy Carter created it, and it started in 1980. So how about all the people that were educated before that?
That were better educated
Thank
before
you.
That. I mean, take a look at the stats. It's not like our kids have gotten any better on their scores and their tests since the Department of Education came along. It's gotten worse.
It's gotten worse.
It's like so many of these agencies. They're not the Department of Education, the Department of this, the Department. They are departments of social justice is what they have
yes.
become. And social engineers. And they want to put it in our schools. And they want to put it in our businesses. They want to put it in every form of American society. And again, the public has said, We want you to teach our kids how to read and write. We don't need to teach them your corrupt moral values that you want to input on them. And that's what the Department of Education in many ways has become. And so, yeah, I don't think most people will even notice if they went away, maybe a few hundred employees or 1,000 employees who work there. But the bottom line is they're not doing their job, and a lot of government's not doing its job, not the job it was created to do or the public wants it to do. And that's why they're on the run, because somebody's finally in there who's willing to not just call it out, but go find the corruption. And yes. once you start finding it, the public gets hungry. Oh, you're doing that? What are they doing over there? Right? So people start realizing, well, now this is a real thing, and it's not going to just go away tomorrow.
I just pray we can keep up with this momentum and that another conservative like maybe J.D. Vance is elected in 4 years, because all this good Trump is doing, you just hope, you know, a crazy lefty like a Kamala Harris doesn't come back in 4 years and try to undo all of this progress.
Oh, it'll happen eventually. I mean,
it's like whack-a-mole. You got to play whack-a-mole in Washington. You hit them over here and everybody bounces up over there. It's a constant. But, you know, but J.D. Vance is one who's even said himself, he expected Elon Musk to find like 250, maybe million or billion, I'm sorry, billion dollars of like fraud. Already he's like, actually, I'm wrong. It's going to be far worse than that.
Oh, of course.
Because it's not just fraud. It's like overpayment. It's programs we've never heard. I mean, it's all sorts of stuff.
And Genevieve, I got about a minute left here, but it's also things like NPR and PBS where we know there's systematic bias, and they're looking at cuts there, too.
And that's the thing, you know, people always say, because for years Republicans and conservatives talked about PBS and NPR, we certainly should get rid of giving them money. Yes, the amount of money they get from the federal government is not their whole budget, but the amount of nonsense they spew on the air all over this country is a huge problem. And we do underwrite a lot of that stuff. That should not happen. Why would we give money to an entity that doesn't like America?
Doesn't like
most Americans, which is what I would argue NPR and PBS are made up of.
Yep, that's the best question that's been asked this morning. Genevieve, thank you. We're out of time. I appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, take care. Genevieve Wood, their senior advisor at the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. DailySignal.com, by the way, we're the clearinghouse for a lot of those great stories we talk about with Genevieve. Coming up, Lucas Tomlinson reporting live outside of the White House this morning on the amazing shrinking government. We'll be right back.
The whole thing with $100 million spent on you-know-what, with money going to all sorts of groups that shouldn't deserve to get any money, with the money, I'd like to see what the kickbacks are. How much money has been kicked back? Who would spend that kind of money to some of the things that you read about and I read about and I see every night on the news and every morning when I read the papers? Who would spend money for that? I would say this. The people that got all that money, are they kicking it back to the people that gave it from government? No, that's, to me, very, very corrupt.
Yep, President Trump yesterday, and you got to wonder when you see Maxine Waters and Elizabeth Warren and others throwing the kind of fit they threw yesterday. all he's doing is cutting government waste. I don't get it, but Lucas Tomlinson's covering that this morning for Fox News from the White House. And Lucas, thanks for giving us some time today.
Mark, that's great. Great to join you. Just one correction. I'm from Fox Sports. I thought we were doing a Super Bowl preview.
Oh,
Chiefs,
man.
Eagles. I'm kidding. Good morning from the White House, St. Louis.
Wherever you have your money this weekend on the Super Bowl, Lucas.
You know, I'm sitting next to a big Chiefs fan, so I got to go Mahomes getting number three. I'm pressing in three straight titles.
You know,
as a Commanders fan, I cannot root for a divisional rival.
Yeah, I get that. I think everybody in the country is going to be pretty clearly divided on this one, because some people are tired of all the winning, right? As we see with Donald Trump, and some people don't care for the Eagles to begin with. So, what do you do?
Not along I-95. A lot of people rooting for a Commanders-Bills Super Bowl. Sorry, Chiefs fans.
I'm sure they were. That's funny. Yeah. Speaking of winning, you're outside of the White House. Yeah, I don't know how you do it. I'll be honest with you. Like, every day you start to cover one story, and Donald Trump comes out and announces he's building Trump Tower on the Gaza Strip in a couple of years.
On the Riviera.
How do you keep up with it?
Hey, you know, it's the life we've chosen, Mark. You know, you do your job, the news comes, you report the news, and you're right. It's fast and furious. 54 executive actions to date since President Trump came back to the White House. There's a lot going on.
Well, in terms of shrinking government, I said this at the top of my show this morning. I've been doing this for a long time. I was in television news for 25 years at the local level. I've been a talk show host now for 15 years. I've never existed in a time when it looked like we might, for the first time ever, shrink government spending. And the reaction, the pushback from it has been like a tantrum. I mean, it's across all sectors, Lucas.
Well, there's no question. And I live in Arlington, Virginia. And I was at my son's winter baseball practice the other night, and there's a gentleman who works for USAID. So you can imagine, you know, the panic on his face as he's going through his phone. He was recalled from an overseas posting, and now there's new message if you go on the USAID's website saying that as of Friday, just before midnight, they're going to get rid of all direct hires and place people on leave, with the exception of just some mission critical functions. And we heard from the vice president taking X last night, says he thought they would, you know, Elon Musk and Doge would find $250 billion in waste. And what Vance is saying, he says the real number is much higher. Now, put this in context, though, for all our listeners, and $250 billion is a lot of money, no question, especially in St. Louis. When it comes to the U.S. government, the U.S. government is over $36 trillion in debt. Just to put a fine point on that, the real source of government spending is the entitlements. I'm not going to say waste. Just the money goes to Medicare, Medicaid. A third of American men aren't employed, and some people want Elon Musk to go in that direction as well.
I think it's great that Trump's taken the first step to tell these people, hey, we're putting you on leave, though I empathize with them losing their jobs or not knowing what their future is. I mean, how realistic is it? How quickly do you think, once he's done this with all these workers for these different departments, how quickly do you think he could actually potentially shut down some of these departments or reallocate funds?
First of all, good morning, Kim. We've seen yesterday our own Peter Ducey asked the president about shutting down or making major changes to the Department of Education. You know, what's the point of nominating Linda McMahon to take over the institution unless it's to get rid of it? We've heard from President Trump says he wants to see that money go to the states. He wants states, people in Missouri to have control over their own education and not folks in Washington. But there's no question the president is looking to cut the size of government. He offered the buyout plan. Over 20,000 federal workers have taken him up on that. 9 months of pay. The deadline is tomorrow. So we'll have to see what those numbers look like as the day goes on, or certainly tomorrow at the deadline. But the president wants to shrink the size of government. This is why he was elected. This is why he won all seven swing states that are not close to Washington, D.C., right? When you look at the heartland, look at Missouri, look at the Midwest. People want change. They don't want to see unelected bureaucrats, some of whom are making hundreds of thousands of dollars, and some of them not even coming into work to do it.
Yeah, it's true. Lucas Tomlinson with us from Fox News this morning. What's the difference in the mood in the White House press corps right now, Lucas? Because I know there are a lot of I'll call them mainstream media, but big media companies, ABC, CBS, all that, that are covering it, and you know what their attitude is about Donald Trump. I mean, I think that that's my opinion there. I'll insert. But what is the mood? Because I watched this news conference yesterday with shock and awe, just like everybody else. We haven't seen anything like this in 4 years.
There's no question. You'd have to go back to FDR when you saw, you know, a president sitting at the Resolute desk in the Oval Office and being surrounded by members of the media. And the president likes to talk. He loves to speak to the media. And he's made a career of this, you know, going back to his days in New York. So he knows that anything he says, tweets, posts on Truth Social is going to be on air. And like you said earlier about keeping up with anything, I mean, even this morning, the president was posting about Iran. You know, just yesterday, Peter Ducey asked him, were you worried about, you know, the Iranians trying to kill you? And he said, the president said he's left instructions that if that were to happen, or others in his administration, there's plans to wipe Iran off the map. But then this morning, seems like the president took a different tone, said he wants to work with Iran, he wants to get a nuclear deal, and he wants Iran to prosper. Assuming that means the Ayatollah is out of the picture.
Yeah,
We've been talking about Trump wanting to take over Gaza and just how he leverages things like this to try to, you know, exert his strength and power before he has to really take any action.
No question, Kim. And we saw this just a few days ago with the tariffs. You know, he comes out swinging about 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico. And what happened? A few phone calls to Mexico's president, Canadian prime minister. And all of a sudden you hear about thousands of troops and law enforcement officials moving to the border to help the drug war. You know, the president was as concerned about the trade war. He's talking about a drug war. He's very concerned about the fentanyl. You had the hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday where, once again, we saw some of these families impacted. And no doubt across the country, many families are dealing with this. You know, all it takes is just a few, you know, morsels of this fentanyl to kill you. It's a conversation I think we're all having with our kids. Another reason to say no to drugs. Public service announcement there. I hope you don't mind, Cass.
It's the truth. Lucas, I was watching some of the protests yesterday outside of the Treasury Department. You know, I understand it. They're the opposition. That's kind of what their role is right now in all of this. But it all seems a little disorganized, and they seem to be having a little bit of trouble keeping up as well.
Well, I think the president likes to keep people off guard. I don't think we need a second source on that one. And I think that's why you're seeing some of these, you know, you're protesting one thing one day, the next day the president does something. There's other people that want to protest his other moves. So he keeps people off balance. There's no question. I think he likes that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Lucas Tomlinson, listen, we appreciate your time this morning, and best of luck there at Fox Sports.
Well, thank you so much, Mark and Kim. I really appreciate it. And for the good listeners out there in Missouri, go Chiefs.
Yeah, you bet. All right, thank you, Lucas Tomlinson, live from the White House this morning, standing out just outside of the White House lawn there. I watched him live on Big Fox a few minutes ago. What a great guy. Great sense of humor.
Very great guy, yeah.
Rooting for the Chiefs, but, you know, he admits that everybody up there on the East Coast wanted Washington and the Bills.
Well, yesterday I was just talking about how the tickets are plummeting. I think people are tired of seeing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and any diehard Chiefs fans, even if they've gone twice, they don't want to pay thousands of dollars necessarily to go a third time.
I can't imagine.
You're collecting from the same pool, right?
Yeah. But it's still going to be, it's an experience. I was talking to Carl, we were talking about some local stations. Fox 2 has sent Jasmine Huda down there to New Orleans. Carl says, I wonder if she has a ticket to the game. And I'm thinking, my guess is she's credentialed to go to the game, like a press credential. She may not have a seat. When I went to the Super Bowl at Joe Robbie Stadium, when the Bengals played the 49ers back in about 1989 or 90, I had a seat. I was about seven rows off the field at about the 20-yard line. It was amazing.
Yeah, but that was a century ago. And
it was a long time ago.
You were from the city of...
So I was covering the Cincinnati Bengals from a TV station in Dayton, Ohio. So, yeah, maybe that's why.
I don't know. But also, as you did point out, she's on a Fox affiliate. And Fox has the game this year, so I'm guessing they have a lot.
I'm guessing she's got a press pass. Good for them. Somebody will get to have
She's been reporting every day. It's not like they just sent her down there and she's a tourist.
That's true. She's working. I've known Jasmine a long time. She's great. All right, coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Kim, what are we talking about today?
Well, there's something very important coming up at 12:53 today. In fact, it's going to be every Wednesday at 12:53. Set your clock. You want to make sure you have this time in your phone today for an alarm to go off. I'm going to tell you why coming up.
Kim on a whim.
Mark, I need you to do something very important right now. I need you to take out your phone, and I need you to go set an alarm for 12:53. And don't just set it for today. I need you to set that alarm at 12:53 for every single Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
At 12:53.
Yes, at 12:53. You want to know why?
I do, and so does my daughter, who was in the car on the way to school when you teased this.
Well, the reason why, Ginger Cox, is because the Women's March has announced that there will be a weekly moment of silence on Wednesdays at 12:53.
For who?
Because that is the moment that the January 6th rioters first crossed the barricades. And so they feel as though it's important to take that time at 12:53 to, quote, reflect, meditate, or simply bear witness. Do this with friends, family, coworkers, or alone, however makes sense for you.
So I assume they waited 4 years to pick this date. Because Donald Trump is now president?
I think that's a fair guess.
I'm just speculating here. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yep.
A moment of silence for the day that they kicked down the barrier. I was told that the Capitol Police removed the barrier that was at the bottom of the hill. It was an orange fence, as I remember it, orange construction fence.
You were there.
I would know because I was there.
This message.
I wasn't there when the fence went down. I was still back listening to the president say, I'd like you to go down to peacefully and patriotically protest at the Capitol building. That's what I heard him say. I was still listening to him speak when this incident allegedly happened. That they're talking about.
Well, the Women's March says we pause, we grieve, we stay in motion, we resist. This is going on to say so much harm is being done to our communities, our democracy, and people across the globe. We cannot look away. That's why they're starting it this Wednesday, this moment of silence every single week, Wednesday at 12:53. And they say that when I'm going back to the why 12:53, they're trying to explain to people about, well, that's the moment that they crossed the barricades and when the world's three richest men sat at Trump's inauguration. This action is about recognizing where we are and refusing to be numb to it.
Sounds like what they're commemorating is the loss of their mojo.
Well, if you see any of your coworkers who seem eerily quiet today at 12:53, just give them some space because they too may be having, they may be honoring this moment of silence, and you'll be able to tell who is a, who maybe has been diagnosed with Trump derangement syndrome.
It reminds me of that old Irish limerick that I saw that said that he prays that the Lord for his enemies, he prays the Lord will turn their hearts, and if you don't turn their hearts, turn their ankles, so I'll know them by their limping. So look at 12:53 today, look around.
Yep.
And if you see anybody with their head down being silent, other than your next door podmate who always takes naps at work, then you'll know who they are. You'll know who the insane posse is.
I really hope someone's in the middle of a meeting, like a boss is putting on a presentation and has to stop mid-PowerPoint to say, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to need to take a moment of silence here. No explanation, just a quick moment of silence.
I've kind of missed the assorted fruits and nuts because they disappeared for 4 years, and now they've reassembled, and they're trying to hold protests because you now have to believe the world is falling apart. Their world is kind of falling apart.
Yeah, I mean, they feel like democracy is lost. That was their big concern with Donald Trump getting elected. You
heard
Kamala Harris saying that over and over. He's a threat to our democracy. How? I'm not quite sure. Obviously, Trump pardoned a lot of these January 6ers. Do we know, have all of them at this point been released?
I believe that to be the case, but I can't. So it seems like there would be a bigger stink by some people if they hadn't all been released yet. But there may be somebody out there that has a piece of information on that I haven't seen. I believe they're all out. And what a travesty of justice. I heard somebody say it the other day. You know, the people that were convicted and sent to jail all served time for it. There were a few people that hadn't made it to jail yet, hadn't made it to trial yet. We know for sure because we had Jake on the show and talked to him about that. He was held in a prison for almost 4 years without a trial. It's the audacity of what the Department of Justice did to persecute these people. And you know it happened. That's the sad part about it. We know now, there's a report out today, Kim, that 5,000 FBI employees worked on January 6th cases while crime around the country skyrocketed. They spent their time persecuting people who did nothing more than walk over to the Capitol building to hear what we thought was going to be a speech. And some of them got wrapped up in what was happening and went into the building, but didn't commit any violence. Maybe they were a bit guilty of trespassing, but that would have been about it. At a federal building. Imagine that, being guilty of trespassing at a federal building. But that's what they were charged with in many cases. And they went after them with a zeal, while all the people that burned the country down in the BLM riots got off without a charge. That's what stuck in the craw of most Americans about how the J6ers were treated. And that's why most of them have no problem with them being pardoned.
Well, surely there will be lawsuits coming.
Oh, I'm sure. And not soon enough. My guess is our buddy Jake is working on that even as we speak. Coming up, John Solomon, investigative journalist, founder of Just the News, is going to join us right after the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.